Here's our pastor.
1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I want to just share with you from the thought how the faithful should function. Amen. How the faithful should function. You can look at and ask some children and they can tell you how the world functions. They can tell you that if somebody says something that they don't like, you know what time it is. Amen. You do something they don't like, you know exactly how they function. Amen. Because some of those people that function outside the way that we are accustomed to, or what we don't like to see, we try to stay away from them. Amen. Amen. So there should be a significant difference between us and the world. At no time should we be compared to the world in our daily functions. We should not be compared to the world on how we function when we handle trouble, when we handle trials and tribulation, nor when we have persecution in our life. But we somehow find ourselves battling our flesh. Come on and say amen. And we start to function like someone who don't have faith. Amen. But if we're going to be faithful to God, then God has required and given us some things and some ways that we ought to function by being in him. Amen. Peter wrote this letter, and we all know who Peter was. Jesus called him Simon Peter. He called him Peter because he was speaking a word over him, because at that time, Peter was not as faithful. Because he was Simon in the flesh. And Simon was a man who lied sometimes, who fought sometimes, and cursed sometimes. Oh, come on and say amen. You're no different than Peter. Simon Peter. And so this same Peter was the one who Jesus spoke to and said, look, Peter, he said after the resurrection, he said, Peter, he said, I want to know, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you. He said, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know it. And he kept going on and he asked him, and he said, well, feed my flock, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. He told him to feed them, amen? And so here Peter opens up the same chapter here, the same verse or scripture that we're reading, and he opens up and he begins to talk to them. First off, in the first part of this whole book or letter, he talks to those that are scattered abroad. He talks to the suffering, because suffering becomes a word that is spoken more in this book than any other book that he wrote. Amen? And so he talks about suffering, but he also made the theme of what he talked about, he made it victory. Amen. To let us know, even though we suffer, we still have victory through Jesus over our suffering. Amen. And so he talks to us as Jesus talked to him, and he opens up and he tells the elders, he goes from the top to the bottom. And he tells the elders, he tells us, first off, that we ought to be role models. Amen. Then he tells, I know some people say, I ain't no role model. Oh, yeah, you're a role model. If somebody looks at you and try to pattern themselves after you, then you are a role model. So we need to govern ourselves so that we could cause ourselves to model before people so that they would like the way that we live, that they might desire to live the same way in Christ. Come on and say amen. He reminds them, he says, to be role models, but he reminds them of their responsibility to feed the flock of God. Then he tells them in verse 4 of the reward that they will have if they remain role models and continue to feed the flock of God. Come on and say amen. So then we understand now, after Peter goes through all this and he tells them how they will be rewarded with a crown that don't fade away because they've been role models and they have took up their responsibility and they've been faithful in doing the thing that God had called them to do, then he begins to talk to everybody else. Come on and say everybody else. You see, when God speaks, he doesn't speak just to one person. He speaks to all of us because he wants us all to grow. He wants us all to be at a place in our life where we'll be confident that he's speaking to us and that he's on our side and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Come on and say amen. And so now he's talking to them and he's telling them in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, likewise. In other words, he's letting us know that if the elders are going to be role models and they're going to keep their responsibilities and get a reward, you got to do your part too, because there's something in store for you. He said, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. First thing that we need to understand in our functions as Christians, if we're going to be faithful to God, we first got to remind ourselves to stay submitted to God. We have to be submitted. He said, submit yourselves to the elders. And submit yourselves to the elders. Now, I don't know where we get off now with our young folks that's so disrespectful to the elderly. Amen. You know, I remember when we were growing up, they would tell us, you better put a handle on that name. In other words, if it was an older woman or older man, you said Mr. or Mrs. You didn't just call them by their first name. Come on and say amen. It was just a sign of respect. Nowadays, the young folks, I'm telling you, I don't understand this group because they will curse out a person and then their mama will curse that person out too, as if it's okay. That is not okay. That is not what God requires. So how can we say we're Christians and we say it's okay for the younger to handle the older any kind of way? When the scripture clearly says, younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Oh, come on and say amen. You may not like this today, but it's all right. We need to learn how to do what God says do. We need to go back and see and revisit the things that God instructed us. How should we function? If we're going to be faithful, we need to teach our children how to shut up instead of trying to talk over somebody who's older. Come on and say amen. I remember that if you got in grown folks' conversation, there was a chance that you'd get your mouth or your teeth knocked out. You'll get slapped right in the mouth. Oh, come on and say amen. Let me tell you a funny story. I had a friend of mine. He was sitting on the porch listening to some older women talk about who swallowed a watermelon, and you know what that means. And they were sitting there talking, and he turned around and looked like that. And when he turned his face, they spit tobacco right there in his face. And now you get yonder and go play. And you know what? Nobody said nothing about it. His mama, nobody else said anything about it because they taught him not to be in grown folks' conversation, and he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. But now we'll let them take over the conversation. I couldn't even talk to my mama while she was on the phone. I don't care how urgent I felt like it was. Don't you see I'm on the phone? And will probably hit me with the phone. Come on and say amen. We have to get to a point, and I'm not telling you to go out beating your children, but we need to teach our children. We need to not just teach our children, but they got some young adults that don't know how to be respectful. And they're raising children that don't know how to be respectful. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, so we need to learn how to, first off, submit, amen? Submit to who? Submit to supervision. Submit to those who are in supervision over you. God has given us all governors and tutors. He's given us people to give us words in our life, to train our life, to help us along the way, to give us wisdom and knowledge in our life. Those are the people that we ought to submit to. Come on and say, I'm submitted. He says, submit yourselves to the elder. And he said, yeah, if all of you be subject one to another. Now, that goes to show you that I don't care how old you get, you still need to be able to submit. There are some people who are older that feels like they can say anything anytime they get ready. But the Bible speaks about saying things in love. If you can't say it in love, don't say it. I get tired of hearing, "I'm just saying," though. I don't want to hear that. Because what you just saying, you can't take it if somebody told it to you. So why are you telling somebody else? Preach anyway. Oh, yeah. So why we say that? Why do we say that if we know we can't handle it? Why you want to say it to somebody else? If you can't take it, don't dish it. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so he says that we ought to submit to who? One another. We ought to submit to the other saints. We submit to supervision. Then we ought to submit to the other saints. Come on and say amen. We need to submit one to another. We need to submit to one another and be humble before one another and not try to dominate one another. Not, you know, it's a shame when we come to church and we try to dominate as if we are in the world. The world has levels. The world have people who are high ranking. The world have people who are more important. The famous people. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, the world have that, but we in the church, we're all God's children. We're all saints of God. We all have an inheritance. We all have the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace and get the same mercy. We all are in need of a Savior. We all are in need of grace. Come on. Morning by morning, we wake up. We need the new mercies. And since we need it, we ought to submit to one another. There's nobody better than you in this house. Amen. There's no big T's or big I's and little U's. Amen. We need to realize that we all are the same in God. When God looks at you, he looks at me. All he looks at is a child of his. I don't care if you've been saved 100 years, you still got the same inheritance I got. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't care if you went out and you saved the whole continent of Africa. I get the same thing you get. I get to go to heaven. I get to see God. I get an inheritance. Oh, come on and say amen. So here we are. He says submit. First off, to saints, to supervision. Secondly, to the saints, amen? And then he tells them to clothe themselves. Look at this. He says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. In other words, he tells us that we ought to put on the clothing or the apron of humility, a servant's garment. That's what we need to put on. In order to submit, you have to be ready for service. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. God will give you strength to serve. He'll give you his spirit to be able to serve. We got to be put in mind that what Jesus did when he fed those guys in the upper room, he gave them, they had the Last Supper, and he took, and after that, he took his clothes off and he gathered them together. Come on and say amen. And he put a towel on and he began to wash their feet. He washed their feet and he was showing us what we should do as children of God. If you see your brother who's been walking through and struggling with a mess, come on and say amen, who's had a rough road that they've traveled, it's time for you to decide that, hey, I want you to rest while I wash your feet. Come on and say amen. I want to help you. I want to soothe the pain. I want to take care of you. I want to clean you up. Oh, come on and say amen. That's submission. Amen. When we talk about submission, submission is when we're able to act it out. Submission, you don't have to pray about being humble. Come on and say amen. You don't have to say that I'm humble. Oh, come on. You don't have to feel like you're humble. But in order to be humble, you just got to be humble. It takes an act of humility. You can't pray and say, Lord, help me to be humble. God said, go get up off your knees and go do something about being humble. Come on and say amen. Because God has given you the ability to submit. Now, when you're proud, you can't submit. That's why people say he disrespected me and they want to fight, because now they don't know how to take the low road. They want to argue. They want to fuss. They want to fight. But when you find somebody who know how to be humble, they're humble and they said, you know what? Even if I have to give up the right and suffer the wrong, I'm going to humble myself because I know the truth and I know what God will do. Y'all don't have to say amen in here. But he says now we ought to put on and clothe ourselves with humility. Why? Because God will, he says, he resists the proud. If you got pride, in other words, that word resist, when he said resist, that's a military term. What he's saying is that whenever God see pride, that's a sign of rebellion. So the army of God come against it immediately. So there's no doubt. That's why the scripture says that pride come before destruction. It's because God's army comes against it and destroys whoever built up in pride. Oh, help me today. And so you need to put down your pride. God will tear down those things. If you put up a wall of pride, then God will tear that wall down. I wish I had somebody. So we need to submit to supervision, submit to the saints, and then submit to the Savior. I wish I had some help. He says, look, that he give grace to the humble. When we're seeking the grace of God, and when you look at that word grace, it is not just talking about, or it does not mean in that text, unmerited favor. What it means is he's giving you ability. Amen. He's giving you an enabling power to be able to submit yourself. And what is that power that he's given me? He's given me the Holy Ghost. That's the power. The Holy Ghost, the ability to submit. How is it that Jesus, who was the first of all things, the Bible says he was the Word. He was in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. How did the Word humble himself, come to earth, and die, and submit himself to a death that he didn't have to die? He did it because of who he was. He did it because of the Holy Spirit of God. Come on and say amen. And so that same spirit that was in Christ, he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen. We got to submit ourselves by the Holy Ghost. And that's why in our flesh we got pride. I'm proud to be a holder. I'm proud to be a preacher. I'm proud to be able to have this and to do that. I'm proud. Come on. And sometimes I get braggadocious and I want to tell people about, oh, look at what I did and what I got. But you know what? That's nothing, because when I find myself thinking about who I really am in the presence of God, I realize I'm nothing more than a filthy rag. And without him, without his enabling power, he enabled me to come to the throne of grace. Come on and say amen. With his enabling power, now I can put aside what I've been built up in pride with and put that aside and realize that I have to be humble. Paul said it best. He said that all those things that I've accomplished, all my education, all the things that I've done, the visions I've had, the dreams, the miracles, he said all of that, all of the things that I've accomplished is nothing if I don't know Christ. Oh, yeah, we got to know him, amen, in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. We need to know him. Hallelujah. Then he goes on. Let's see. He goes on. He says that in verse number 6, he says, humble yourselves. He gives grace to the humble. Then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so God gives you grace. And when you humble yourself, God says, you know, at this time, you don't need to be prideful. Come on and say amen. Sometimes we want to be prideful, but God is saying at this time, it's not time to be prideful. It is the time for you to humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, I'll give you a time that I'm going to raise you up. Oh, God doesn't need time, but he gives us time to help manage our lives better. Come on and say amen. And so that is an appointed time that God will raise you up. But you don't want to raise yourself up, and you don't want people to raise you up. Because when people raise you up and you raise yourself up, then God knocks you down so that he can only raise you up again. And so I'd rather humble myself and wait on God to raise me up than to let people raise me up and to raise myself up, because I don't want to have to go back down. Come on and say amen. Anybody that's ever been down and God raised you up, you know what it's like to be down, and you never forget it. And you know that it wasn't you that picked you up. It wasn't you that delivered yourself. It wasn't you that healed you. It wasn't you that made a way. You realize if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Do I have anybody in the house today that realized if it hadn't been for the Lord? Oh, yeah, he picked me up. He turned me around. David said he picked me up out of the miry clay. And you know what that means? He picked me up out of a clay. When you talk about miry clay, where I grew up, we had clay dirt. And if you put something in the clay, if you stuck a pole in the clay, you couldn't just pull it back out. It created a suction on it, and you had to work it out in order to get it up. Come on and say amen. And so what I'm saying, when David say that, he's saying that I was in a place where some things that it sucked me down. Some things had a hold on me, and I couldn't get up. But God worked it out and pulled me out of the miry clay. Amen. He says, humble yourselves under the hand of God, that he may exalt you. It's no coincidence that he was talking already about the elders and submitting yourself. But then he says submit under to God. And when he said that the hand of God, Jesus, let me tell you how powerful the hand of God is. When you talk about the hand of God, Jesus said, it is with the finger of God that I do these miracles. All it takes is one finger from God. Come on and say amen. And something could happen. Do you know that when you talk about the fivefold ministry of God, when you talk about the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, that group is the hand of God. That's how God touches us. Come on and say amen. That is how God heals us. That's how God delivers. He uses that ministry to reach out to perfect the saints and for the work of the ministry. Come on and say amen. So it is an extension of God's hand. And when we find ourselves able to submit to the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, then God starts to raise us up. Come on. Whenever, if we keep talking about the man of God ain't this and the preacher ain't that, and we keep comparing ourselves to him and not realizing that he's not just a man, but he's God's. If he belong to God, don't touch him. Amen. If you belong to God, he don't need to touch you either. So he says, submit under the what? Hand, the mighty, not the weak hand, not just any hand, but the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. That's the reason why you submit, that he may exalt you. That's the reason why you hear a word, so that God will lift you up. Come on. That's the reason why you pray and you come and you hear a word and you worship. That's your time of submission to God. And when you do, then God will begin to raise you up. You came here down, but God lifts you up. You came sorrowful, but now you have joy. You came here broke, but you feel like $1 million. Come on and say amen. He'll lift you. You can praise God without a dime in your pocket. That's when he lifts you. When you can pray in spite of what you're facing, you still can say, Lord, I thank you that I'm here. That's him lifting you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, whenever you can help somebody when you need help yourself, yeah, that's him lifting you. When you can pray for others and say, you know what, I'm in need of prayer, that's him lifting you. Yeah. Hallelujah. So he says that you may be exalted in due time, in your time, in the time that God has appointed. If you read Psalm number 1, it tells us that we are blessed if we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But when we delight in the law of the Lord, and when we meditate in his word day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen? And he said, and in his season, he'll bear fruit. Amen? We have time to come forth. We have a time and a season that's appointed just for us. Don't get angry or jealous because someone advances or someone is blessed or someone does something that you might have a desire to do, because that's just their time. Your time is coming. Come on and say amen. Oh, you just keep watching. You know, have you ever looked down the street and saw the mailman in the neighborhood, the UPS man, the FedEx man in the neighborhood? You've been waiting on a package. He stopped 10 houses down. If you just wait a little while, he'll get to your house. And all I'm saying is, if God is blessing somebody in here that you've seen get blessed, then you need to just believe that my time is coming. I'm next in line for a miracle. It's my time to own. It's my time to be blessed. It's my time to be used. Come on and say amen. I'm just waiting on my time for God to do what he said he would do. I'm not giving up on what God said. If God promised it, he's able to perform it. I'm not going to just say, you know what, I guess he didn't want me to have it. I guess God not going to heal me. Oh, yeah. He said that there's a time for all things. Come on and say amen. In everything, there's a time and a season. It's a time for you to stop being broke. It's a time for you to stop walking in negativity. It's a time for you to start breaking away from negative folks and find yourself in the positive place with God. It's a time for you to stop speaking those things that you know bring you down and start speaking the word, because it will lift you up. It's a time for everything. It's a time for you to stop being sick and tired and start being ready to worship in spite of. Oh, come on and say amen. There is a time for everything. There's a time to preach, and then there's a time to shout while you preach. Hallelujah. There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to get up and thank God for what you prayed for. There's a time for everything. And so God said that I'm going to lift you. You got to know something. God's not going to let you down. Right. He's not going to leave you down. But God will lift you up because he loves you. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. Now, we got to get, let's try to get finished with this. He says that he'll do it in due time. Amen. But then he turns around in verse 7 and said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. That's one thing that we need to do. All of our anxieties, all of the things that cause the pain and frustration and afflictions that we might encounter, we need to cast it upon him because he'll provide. He'll give us what we need to make it through. Maybe he won't change the fact that you're facing the situation, but he'll give you peace while you're facing. Oh, yeah, he may not change the condition, but he'll condition you for the change and give you joy in the midst of your sorrow. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Come on and say amen. He'll turn your mourning into dancing, if you will. Let him do it. Come on and say amen. And so what we got to do is realize that if we cast it on him, I got confidence that God is going to make a way. Now, he may not make the way this morning. He may not make that way this evening. But I believe that he's a way maker. He'll make a way for me. I believe that he'll open up doors that's been closed in my face. Do anybody else believe that other than me? I'm crazy enough to believe that if I can't see my way, God is the way, and he knows how to put me in the way. And if I don't get in the way, he puts somebody in my way to get me back to the way that I'm supposed to be in. Hallelujah. Just trust that if I cast them on him, when I think about casting, I think about casting a rod and a reel. In other words, I got to rap back. Come on and say amen. And I got to give some effort to get it off of here. I got to get this hook out there. I got to, it's like going fishing. If I can cast it out there where a big fish are jumping, I may be able to catch something. Come on and say amen. And so what God is saying, I'm like the sea. I got plenty. If you can just throw your hook on this end. Oh, my God, if you can just get in the middle of me, if you can just get right in the middle, oh, yeah, I give you something that you can have. Come on and say amen here. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Now, we got to first off learn that even though we'll submit it, we got to learn how to be serious. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking, seeking whom he may devour. Look at that. He says, be serious. We got to learn how to be serious. Why do we have to be serious? It's because we need to learn how to recognize the devil. I need to know how to recognize when it's a demonic force, when it's a trick from the enemy, when somebody comes. Listen, you got to understand, all relationships are either sinned by God or sinned by the devil. Amen. And I need to know how to identify whether the devil brought this or God brought this. Come on and say amen. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion. He's lying in wait. And so he's trying to catch you off guard. He's trying to catch you not looking. He's trying to catch you not being sober or vigilant, not paying attention, not watching and praying. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes we can be drunk in ourselves, drunk in selfishness, drunk on being money hungry and success seeking. Come on and say amen. So much that we don't realize that the devil is right there, lying in wait, trying to devour us, trying to take us out. He desires to sift you as we, but thank God that Jesus has prayed for you. You need to realize, he says, that we need to be sober. And I don't have time not to be serious about this, but when it comes to God, I'm serious. Oh yeah, I may laugh and joke and play sometime, but I'm serious when it comes to the things of God, because God will reveal the enemy. God will make you see who the enemy is. He'll make you see where the enemy is, and he'll show you the tactics that the enemy is trying to use in your life. And it's up to us. When we recognize him, notice what he said. He said, to whom resist steadfast. We need to be serious because we learn how to recognize.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.